T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
Kendall Gill is here today. We're having a blast with Kendall.
Kendall Gill? Wow!
Kendall, you were in the middle of Michael Jordan conversation. Do you remember which story you were going to? Because I know there's a pile of them.
What, did I interrupt one of your impermeable stories?
Well, where were you going?
Yeah, I was going with, to his competitive spirit. You know, I'm not going to give my source away, but he did play with Michael. My source told me, he happens to work with me at NBC anyway, so I'm going to give him away. So Will told me that...
For privacy's sake, let's call her Lisa S. No, that's too obvious. Let's say L Central.
You guys know how at the United Center how they have all the races on the board?
Yeah.
You know where the donuts are racing or the cups of coffee are racing?
Cup of coffee.
In lane number one is Dashing Donut. In lane number two is Cuppy Coffee. And in lane number three is Biggie Bagel.
Michael used to pay the guys to tell him who was going to win, and then he would bet all the players in the locker room.
Oh, my God.
Who would win the races. And they never could figure it out.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Dunkin' Donut characters are at the starting gate. It is now post time. And they're off.
That is so Jordan.
You got to respect that at some level.
Win. He needed to win the Dunkin'
Donut. He needed to win that bad. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Tom, I think you hit a ceiling. You just keep raising the bar. You are like the Michael Jordan of being a son of a bitch.
The ceiling is the roof.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Good afternoon. It is McNeil and Parkins indeed. On Friday, the show was me, Matt Spiegel, and David Haw, who worked the double.
He's really good about doing that. Whoop. Man, he likes to work. Thank you, David.
Absolutely. Thank you. And Kendall Gill, who sat in for 3 hours. We had some fun with Kendall at Bandit over there on West Randolph. And then yesterday was a holiday, and now today here, Dan McNeil is back. Yeah. The one-armed man returns.
Oh, my God. Good to be. It's broken.
It's good to be back. Can you get Danny Noonan to sit in? I was off for shoulder surgery Friday. Surgery went pretty well. And I had a couple of other health hiccups over the last couple of weeks that I probably will get to maybe tomorrow or on Thursday's show with you. But it's good to be back here. And thanks to you and everybody, Mark Grody and Will Perdue were here yesterday as we were off for President's Day. And yes, I did hear a little bit of the show because Mark Grody tickles me to no end.
Mm-hmm.
How can he not, right?
No, he does. And he needs to see you in your role this week as the one-armed man. I don't know how long the sling will be on, but Grody...
And which is right or left arm, he had a little gimmick on it. Was it one of those with the hooks or...
Yeah. Anthony Heron was in yesterday, by the way, with Grody. Will Perdue was one of their guests, I heard. So I misspoke just a second ago.
I got you. Well, Frederick
Sykes.
Frederick Sykes is you.
Yeah.
From the Fugitive. I believe it's pronounced the Fugitive.
Okay, yeah. Careful there.
I'm glad you're enjoying this.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. That's not what you did. The vasectomy. No, you had shoulder surgery.
Shoulder surgery, yes. The infraspinatus, the supraspinatus, and the labrum all had tears. Would you like to see my scars?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
They're not bad. They're just a couple of, there's like five of them.
Is that what it is? You have a scar there? Because when you wouldn't take off your shirt, I thought maybe you had a buzzer there on the collarbone.
Oh, to see what that is right there, Shep. So, that's 25 years of radio experience
thank you very
on
much.
Display.
Yeah, drive safe, everybody.
Segway.
Sorry for that quarter century.
Or maybe a tattoo, since that's what we've come to, is Jose Altuve undressing ostentatiously to make sure that the entire media looked at his collarbone tattoo.
You are down on your game. You're down on your game because it's been embarrassed by a cheating scandal and a lot of outrage over it. I understand that. Your game has a lot of issues right now, but I would not be surprised if the interest level in baseball received a spike this coming season because of all of the controversy.
Do you want to watch more? And I asked that to you, I asked that to the listeners, and I wondered about that. I've heard from a couple of people who said, you know, this really has turned me off for the upcoming season. And you and
I want to watch
others,
the Astros, yes. Yeah. I want to see the guy who goes to the plate for the Astros first on there.
Yes, I do.
How about first every single series? Like, yeah. No matter yeah. who they play.
Think I want to see if guys back up their tough talk by knocking guys down.
The litany of players over the past week who have come out and just torched the Astros.
What, I feel like every single guy over there needs a beating.
That's Nick Markakis today from the Braves. Chris Bryant, the mild-mannered, thoughtful Chris Bryant, went hard on them on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Trout talking about him. Everybody.
Mike Trout with an interesting thought that didn't involve barometric pressure.
So every series, when they play somebody, it ought to be interesting. They are the villains. Villains are good for sports. I'll give you that.
That's what I'm thinking. And there have been teams that have been disliked over the course of sports history that have wound up being very, very compelling. Teams you love to hate. The Dallas Cowboys had a little bit of that in the 90s. The Oakland Athletics had it in the set. I gravitated to it. Now, they didn't like each other either. Mm. Those Oakland teams that won three straight World Series, they didn't like each other, but I gravitated
whammy.
To
sorry.
Hey,
I'll
Gene
give you a
tennis.
Whammy for Gene Tennis. Yeah, and the Cowboys in the 90s, I agree, were good. But hateable. I mean, I always think
the
about
Pistons who won back-to-back titles
absolutely.
Before the Bulls started winning them.
Absolutely, with Mahorn and Laimbeer and those jamokes. The Heat when LeBron went down there, when LeBron chose support and went down there after Dwayne Wade, you know, pulled one over on the Bulls and everybody else.
Yes, he did.
And got them all together. It can be very healthy for a sport to have
yeah, maybe
some
it will
villains.
Be. Maybe it will be. And, I, you know, maybe we'll get into this a little bit more tomorrow or Thursday, or we'll get into it in spring training. But I'm sure there are things that you've thought about to help baseball with its viewership issues. It's been a long-standing discussion, but it is no skin off my nose if baseball doesn't have good ratings. I have no stake in the game. I understand why people are not spending as much time with it as they used to. Our culture doesn't set up for America's pastime. People just don't do things that take 3+ hours anymore.
Just wait till you see the 3-batter rule in effect.
I'm looking forward to it.
I kid, but I mean, I'm for that. To make the late innings move a little quicker.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we don't see swap after swap after swap in the 7th, 8th, and 9th.
You know, and just kids listen to these broadcasts. I don't know. It's starting to sound to me, and I've heard it in the NFL as well, when I listen to NFL radio around the league, listening to Pirates television last year, and they've had some changes. If that is part of baseball's problem with television ratings, because I'm not talking about national ratings, I'm talking about your Pittsburgh Pirates, your Baltimore Orioles, that everybody who's got a microphone seems to have this qualification. Are you 70 yet?
All the jewelry and all the stuff.
If the answer is yes, we've got a job for you. How can that be interesting? The Mike Shannons of the world, the nonsense he was throwing out in St. Louis. How can a 25-year-old kid in St. Louis want to hear that guy?
Oh, the best was when Mike Shannon completely and utterly butchered the call where they went to the playoffs.
Yes!
Remember that? Yeah, well, you know, your White Sox have Jason Benetti. I mean, is Benetti the youngest full-time play-by-play voice? Joe Davis of Dodgers is younger. Joe Davis still in his 20s. So there's a few. I hear you. We can talk about it. That's for sure. Is my game in trouble? It's just that if you can't trust it, it gets really, really despicable. But maybe now there'll be more trust in terms of the sign stealing, because, you know, nobody would dare do it with technology this year after the way that the Astros are being eviscerated and will be hit in just about every series.
Baseball has never been trustworthy, though. Baseball has never really earned trust, whether it was steroids or, you know, putting Vaseline on your chest to grease the ball to get a few more inches of break on your curveball, stealing signs electronically or otherwise. use of amphetamines.
Yeah. You know,
steroid. Yeah. Baseball, there's always been something going on where guys were trying to find an edge. This isn't new.
Yeah. No, I know, but this is the way it's done is pretty new. And the egregious, just the willful nature to go this far and then to keep lying about it. I can't stop thinking about is the fact that the game has been damaged by not having as many balls in play, right? We've talked about
this. No question.
And every other sport has rules that favor the offense. And every other sport. The NFL is all about maximizing offensive potential for fantasy numbers for entertainment value. The NBA, Kendall Gill spent 3 segments on Friday bemoaning the fact that he can't foul anybody anymore.
Right?
It's just, it's all about that. And here we are upset, understandably so and rightfully so, at a team that found a way to make it a little easier and get some more offense. It's so freaking hard. It's so incredibly difficult. But what they did is they found a way to buy themselves more home runs because they could just swing away as hard as they could.
And buy more
knowing
runs
what was coming.
By having base runners. And, you know, parents have shouted at Little League games for 75 years, a walk's as good as a hit. It never felt that way when you were playing the game. But as time went on and the sabermetricians got around to it finally, mm-hmm. say, you know what, this is a pretty good idea, having guys on base.
Yeah, well, see, that this is the thing, is that
it's not exciting.
But here's the thing. Because of this, they didn't bother to shorten up and become contact hitters and just put the ball in play. Because when you know what's coming, then or know what's not coming, then you can just swing as hard as you want. Now, theoretically, those guys are going to have to shorten up and just poke the ball the other way every once in a while. Welcome to baseball. Welcome to the actual difficulty of baseball, is that you don't freaking know what's coming, and you gotta find a way to middle it every once in a while or guess wrong, and then you end up striking out. But like, so that I think will be good. But everybody keeps talking about it. John Lester talked about it today, and really what he talked about was Rob Manfred, because we played you some of the Rob Manfred earlier where he talked about the World Series trophy and whether you should take that away. Just call
asking for a piece of metal back.
Oh, just say a piece of metal. Was that what I'm supposed to do, to take a piece of metal? And John Lester had this to say about it. He said, that's somebody that has never played our game. You play for a reason. You play for that piece of metal. I'm very proud of the 3 I have. If that's the way he feels, then he needs to take his name off the trophy.
It was a really bad moment for Rob Manfred. I don't know what in the world a guy who has been in that position for that long of a period of time is thinking when he makes a comment like that.
He's talking again.
What is wrong with you?
He's talking again right now, trying to correct the mess that happened when he finally talked again the other day.
What's the matter with you? What are you thinking about making that kind of comment?
He's a bonehead.
Piece of metal.
He's a...
You got to be really, really... Is he stupid? I mean...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. I think that's a yes.
All right, how do you ascend to that position being stupid?
Look who he took the job from.
Okay. All right.
30 years of boobage.
Yeah.
Consistent boobage.
A lot of cleavage going on in that commissioner's office.
And the stuff he was in charge of and bungled along the way was bungled in a way that the owners liked. He's just a pawn. You know where I will forever think that the game I love went to hell and on some level is when Bart Giamatti died and Faye Vincent took over, and Faye Vincent was then forced out and Bud Selig was made the commissioner because the owners finally figured out a way to screw the integrity of the game, to screw having somebody in that office who cared about the best interests of baseball, and they put their guy, Bud Selig, in there. They put the used car salesman who represented
exactly
them.
Exactly what he was.
It represented them and only them, and ever since then, every decision that they've made has really just been about profits. And this new thing with the 14 playoff teams and that whole idea is only to try and maximize profits on the postseason, would further devalue the postseason. Everything they do is about keeping their profit margin where it is. That's what the collective bargaining agreement is about, this competitive balance tax, which is acting as a salary cap, Mac. It's all it is just to protect the billionaires from themselves and keep the money going, keep the train going in their favor.
I think if you really wanted to get the Astros, you needed to take away their postseason opportunities for 2 years. That's where I think Rob Manfred and baseball dropped the ball. They should have banned them from the postseason for 2 years. Most teams, I think, would take the trade the Astros had to make. A couple of years of first and second round picks, okay. We liked our GM, we liked our field manager, but guess what? We got a hunk of metal. Look at this hunk of metal. It's beautiful. We'll take that. Oh, we can be in the postseason again next year. Cool. I'll sign up for that all the time.
Yeah. I mean,
I think they would. I think most of them would.
Just go ahead and take that as your title.
But I'm glad to hear the players stepping up.
One of them, all over the place. Can this commissioner survive, by the way? Probably, because the owners are the only ones that really give a crap who the commissioner is.
Bad commissioners often for long periods of time. They're like cockroaches. They're hard to kill.
And as long as the owners keep their money coming in, what's going to be enough to knock this guy around?
What year did Selig last until?
Whenever he wanted to.
Yes. And he's a guy that had a damn World Series canceled. Gary Bettman, you canceled an entire season.
Yeah, he did.
Not just Cup playoff. An entire season.
Yeah, you're right.
He's still around. Uh-huh. Beavis Bettman, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
But Selig had an all-star game and in a tie. You know?
Well, and his reaction to that.
Oh, God.
Baseball fans were mad, and he reacted to baseball fans being mad over an exhibition and then gave home field to the winning league in the All-Star game. The hell are you thinking about?
It's a problem.
Who's the worst commissioner right now? I think Silver is probably seen as the best.
I think he is the
best. And his only real misstep is probably the China situation.
Right, which is really Daryl Morey's fault, for the most part, for the tweet.
Yeah, Daryl Morey's sporting an opinion. I don't have a problem with that.
Well, I mean, it all went to hell. Was that
NBA is very healthy right now. Are happy in the NBA. Players seem to be very content. It's not an us against them mentality.
Not
in
at
that
all,
league.
Mac. They like their commish. And you know where this idea came from for the Elam ending that made the All-Star game awesome on Sunday. It came from Chris Paul. Chris Paul suggested it to Adam Silver. And then Adam Silver looked into it, thought about it, said, all right, you know what? Let's give this a try. And decided to make it 24 points for Kobe Bryant. And I heard you and Danny talking about it when the press release broke. And I heard you guys, and I was right there saying, what the hell are they doing? Why are they tweaking this?
Yeah, it was a bit much.
It completely worked. It worked 100%.
I want more points in an NBA fourth quarter.
Oh, man, I disagree. You had guys, they couldn't even make offensive sets because they're defending the first pass. They were playing like they gave a crap, which is all you ever really want to see. You dream of seeing that.
It was three quarters of rec league ball, summer league ball, CYO league, just running and gunning, and then they played basketball.
They played it. It was crazy. The shooting percentages went down. You got guys drawing fouls. You got people high-fiving. You had the sweat pouring off Joel Embiid. Oh, my God. Yeah. Just
Imagine that, sweating in an all-star game.
But to your point, to Shep's point, it was Chris Paul's idea. Chris Paul's idea, Adam Silver said, that's interesting. That's a player base that not only gets along, but cooperates with their commissioner. That is not what we have here. 670 The Score is where you are listening to the McNeil and Parkins show. He's McNeil. I'm not Parkins. This segment was brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. If you are interested in learning about reverse mortgage loans, I'm going to tell you about that later. It's going to be really interesting.
Oh, you know what? I'm not going anywhere.
That's a tease of a lifetime right there.
Man, I'm having an issue. I'm having a movie issue, and I know you've seen the movie because you've seen all the movies that were nominated. I'm having an issue, and I don't know if you share it or not when it comes to films.
Good.
I want to discuss that with you. We'll do that next on 670 The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen, I got that kid I was talking to you about here. I'm going to put him on the phone and let you talk to him, okay?
Hello?
Is that Frank?
Yes.
Hi, Frank. This is Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah.
Glad to meet you.
Well, glad to meet you, too, even if it's over the phone. I heard you paint houses.
Yes, sir, I do. And I also do my own carpentry.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. I understand you're a brother of mine.
Yes, sir. Local 107 since 1947.
Yeah. You know, our friend speaks very highly of you.
Well, thank you.
He's not an easy man to please.
Well, I do my best.
That from The Irishman. I loved the movie, Mac. Really enjoyed the hell out of it.
Were you rooting for it to win the Oscar?
No, I was not.
Okay. Were you pleased with Parasite winning?
No, not... well...
Okay, behind door number three, you were rooting for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
No, I had picked 1917 in the Oscar pool that me and the wife do.
I picked it also, but wasn't rooting for it.
I was rooting for it because I was very selfishly wanting to win the Oscar pool, and I needed it as we got there.
Were you rooting for JoJo?
I was.
JoJo was awesome, wasn't it?
That was my favorite movie of the year.
Yeah, I liked it a lot,
I thought
too.
JoJo was inventive, funny, thoughtful, emotional, and completely unique.
Saw it for a second full time yesterday morning, and we'll watch it a third time down the road. And that's why I was rooting for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, because I know while there were parts of it that were unsatisfying for me, it's a movie I will rewatch over and over again. I thought the first 2 hours and 15 minutes were absolutely effing great.
Man, it should be a movie I loved, and it just wasn't. It just wasn't. I think the pacing just bummed me out, and some of the vignettes were like, some of the things were just so slow, and I was like, what are we doing here? Come on. And I know, like...
What was slow for you?
Just certain, like, some of the stuff with Leonardo on the movie sets.
Didn't
give a crap.
The scene at the ranch was not completely... Some of that could have made its way to the cutting room floor.
Some of the stuff, yeah, I think so. But I was fascinated by the Manson murders for a while, read a bunch of books, used to listen to Charles. And
then you didn't get them.
Yeah, right. But like, it all should have added up to something that fascinated me and owned me, and it just didn't. Like, I wanted it to come together like Pulp Fiction came together, and it didn't. So I'm not with you, but I know you are, and I know a million people love that movie.
Yeah, I thought it was a good year in films, not a great year, but I found three or four that I enjoy. You know, three or four in a year these days, that ain't terrible, right?
Yeah, I guess not.
I don't know if Once Upon a Time will have the staying power for me last year's winner has, because I've seen Green Book probably at least 10 times. It won the Oscar a year ago. I effing love Green Book.
I loved Ford versus Ferrari. Did you like Ford versus Ferrari?
Ford versus Ferrari is good, and it was very sad when Ken Miles dies in Ford versus Ferrari.
Look at you giving it up.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
You're blowing it for people. Well, here's my...
Kind of historical.
Yeah, that's true. It's actually based on things that happened. Well, that's my point, okay? The Irishman. I really enjoyed it, and the longer it sat with me, the more trouble I've had with it because it's full of lies. Just full of, like...
The story is full of lies.
Yes! Okay. Yes! It's one arrogant, cocky guy's book. His take on
what... Paint houses or... I hear you paint houses.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Where's the dog? Where's the dog? But, you know, it's that guy's take. It's Sheehan's take, and it's him
Sheeran,
saying...
Not Sheehan.
Whatever.
Sheehan.
I can't believe Joe Sheehan wrote a book about it. I know Bernsey and McKnight will have him on to talk
about
it.
And to go over the seven-part fart plan.
The seven-fart plan? That's what I had during the break.
Yeah, I wasn't going to mention it.
Well, I did. But here's the thing.
And the conversation off the air was worried.
Chucky O'Brien. Chucky O'Brien just died. The guy who Jesse Plemons plays him in the movie. He's the chubby kid who appears to be the stepson of Jimmy Hoffa, ends up being his driver, right?
Yes.
And for 50 years or whatever, he's had to live with what he has contended is a lie forever, that he was the one who drove Hoffa to where he got killed, to his demise. Says it's not true, and it's never been true, was afraid the movie was going to happen, and then the movie happened, and he called it one of the greatest fake movies I ever saw.
Okay.
Despite the true crime feel, yeah, the movie is high fiction, that there's surface truths that it gets right, and it has a true crime feel, but it's full of just garbage, which the filmmaker takes as gospel as he's trying to make his point and make it impactful and impressive. And that kind of thing, it ends up not sitting well with me. Do you care? Does it mean anything to you?
Well, I suspect. Suspend disbelief going into anything that is supposed to be biographical because I assume up front it's going to be Hollywoodized. It's going to be movieized. There are going to be things that are flat out untrue. There are going to be things that are exaggerated and embellished. So I accept that going in.
You do.
I loved Jimmy the Hoffa story with Nicholson and DeVito and
Frank Whaley.
Yeah, Frank Whaley. J.T. Walsh was in that one years ago. But I'm sure there were a ton of errors in that one as well. But I don't let that get in the way of loving the movie.
You don't.
It's really good.
That's my problem. Then it's my personal cross to bear.
My personal cross to bear with The Irishman was guys who should have been doing this movie 30 years ago doing it in 2019.
How did that not win for digital effects? Because those guys looked good, and they don't really look that good.
And when I saw it the second time after Tanny had told me about the trouble with one of the scenes with the where he was stepping on the hand.
Yeah. Where Bobby D is stomping out the shopkeeper for touching his daughter, and someone sent me that video for the weekend with the caption, "This is Rob Manfred punishing the Astros."
Couldn't bust a grape. You got those guys. Pacino's going to be 80 this summer.
Yeah.
He's playing a 50-year-old man.
Well, they did well with the digital stuff, though, didn't they?
I couldn't get past it. Uh-huh. I knew who they were.
See, Chucky O'Brien was the guy that Sheeran was supposedly in the movie. Like, the guy who was the driver, guy who did everything for Hoffa, who stayed with him on the road and took care of him. That was Chucky. That wasn't Sheeran. Sheeran was never that guy, supposedly. So, you know, get it right.
I am a sucker for this part of films, though, from the 50s. I absolutely love the wardrobes and cars and styles of homes and things, especially when you're talking about California in the 50s. You know, Mickey Cohen and any story out there with Hollywood didn't have to do with many.
You loved L.A. Confidential.
I think Curtis Hanson was the director of L.A. Confidential. He's got something else coming out soon, too. It's supposed to be pretty good. I can't recall what it is. It's not the new Call of the Wild. The new Harrison Ford
disaster. Ford and a big dog.
Only three more days till we get treated to it. Yeah. But
are you going to go see that? Is that a Patrick selection?
I met Buck.
Yeah, until I met Buck. I'm glad you're enjoying yourself. Oh, yeah, we've been waiting with bated breath.
I thought that was about...
Glad you're enjoying this.
I thought it was about Buck Martinez, the Blue Jays broadcaster.
The wardrobe in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was spectacular. Just, I thought all of that was just really good. The artwork, all of it, just really made you feel. And I didn't love La La Land a few years ago, which tied the record for most Oscar noms with 14, a record two other films share. I'll ask you those two in a minute. But just the costumes and the wardrobe and the automobiles and Los Angeles and when they were building the freeways out there, just fascinating to me.
Yeah. Did you see Motherless Brooklyn, by the way?
I did not.
Yeah, it's on the New York side, it's got a lot of that kind of infrastructure stuff like you're talking about, where they're building New York and how that all went down.
So give me the other two movies to be nominated for a record 14 Oscars.
14
Yeah, La La Land did it 3 years ago.
Titanic.
Titanic, yes. That was number two in 1997.
Okay.
First one you got to go in the Wayback Machine.
Gone with the Wind. There are probably not that many categories.
No, that's a good guess.
The Godfather, Part 2.
No, a little bit further back than that.
Okay.
Buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Casablanca?
All About Eve, 1950.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did not see that coming.
Margot Channing, a great role for Betty Davis. Mm. Yeah.
Folks, put your seatbelts on. This could be a bumpy ride.
That's what he was quoting. Ed Farmer. He's seen All About Eve. Marilyn Monroe's first
picture. Oh, that's
what
he was doing. I never knew that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Ah, you excited about your White Sox, by the way? Our guy Bruce Levine is there. He's very excited. Tannehill really disappointed me. If you're going to host a White Sox podcast and you have the audacity to say there's no news coming out of spring training today, then you're not clear on what spring training news is. You're spoiled.
There's plenty of news. I'm just saving it for the podcast. Locked On Sox with Herb Lawrence. Trust me. They want us to do 3 at least, until the season starts, 3 uh-huh. per week. If there's angles out there, I'm going to try to find them. And today, so far, I can tell you, Andrew Vaughn hit a home run.
All right, there you go.
That's that.
So when Eloy Jimenez says yesterday, sure, I could hit 50 home runs in response to a question, that's a headline right there.
That's
a spring training headline.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to get to 50 if they throw him out in left field 120 nights a year, though, because that's some time on the disabled list, isn't it? The injured list, I should say, these days.
It could be. And back when we come back, let's clarify something that the boss...
Tom Thayer's here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he got Bears All Access coming up.
Excellent. Cool. I do want to clarify also something that the boss of the Cubs said this morning, and some of that big news that broke that I think some people might be understanding a little bit wrong, so we'll do that as well.
Okay, very cool. And we will enjoy, I know you like Deep Purple.
Yeah.
This was used brilliantly in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. This is a good scene to go taking a drive in the Hollywood Hill. This is a good soundtrack for that. 1968 was the year, Speed.
It's a great groove with the percussion.
Oh,
here.
Yeah. Roger Glover slapping some bass, right? Deep Purple
Could
bass
be.
Player? Roger
Could be.
Glover?
Yeah.
I think it is.
I'll take your word for it.
Oh, God. I love this track. All right, we'll be back in a minute. You take care of your Cubs thing, and Tom Thayer is standing by. It's McNeil with Spiegel in for Parkins on the Score.
Na, 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 na. Little girl, she's on my mind. No doubt about it, she looks so fine. She's the best girl that I ever had. Sometimes she's gonna make me feel so bad. Broke my heart, but I love it just the same. Now hush, hush, I thought I heard her calling my name. Now hush, hush, I need her loving and I'm not to blame. Now I got her early in the morning, I got her late in the evening. Oh, well, I want and need it.
Oh, you ain't tickets laying around, let me know.
Caller number 9 to the Scores contest line at 312-591-6700, and you will win a pair of tickets to see The Dead and Company at Wrigley Field on July 24th as Clark turns into Shakedown Street that night right there. It is McNeil and Parkins. Bottom of the hour was brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and Northwestern Football return to Wrigley Field on November 7th as they host Wisconsin. Guarantee a ticket to this matchup with the purchase of season tickets. Buy now at nusports.com. Before we talk to the great Tommy Thayer, just want to clarify real quick, Mac. A lot of people have been asking and tweeting at me, like, so all I need is Hulu at like $12 a month and I can watch Marquee? No, it's Hulu Live. It's their cord-cutting television product. So it's $54.99 a month. And that's Hulu, plus live news and other local channels and live sports, and now Marquee. Just so people understand, if you have that, you know, adorable little monthly Hulu account at $11.99, you do not get Marquee. You have to be on Hulu Live.
Yeah, you can keep covering, taking that if you want to for $12, but you weren't getting no cubs.
Yes. It no work for you. But that is that. And Bears All Access is next, and our man Tom Thayer is
here. Will they still come into my transistor radio?
They will.
All right.
Right here. Hey. 670 The Score. Did you hear, though, Tommy, that today the Oakland A's announced they're not going to be on terrestrial radio? First team in professional sports to have no terrestrial radio station, live web streaming only. Isn't that crazy?
That's what a shame.
Yeah, that is a shame.
What a shame for the upper age group. You know, because I got to say, in the last 5 years of my mom and dad's failing health, we listen to more Cubs games on the radio, on just a little transistor radio in the living room, than we did watch the games. And so I think there's a whole generation out there that they kind of always morph into that the simplisticness of a, if that's
sure,
a word,
yeah,
of an A, of just the transistor radio.
Sure, and that you could take it anywhere.
Sad. I mean, now simplicity is the word you're looking for. Okay.
Liked simplisticness. I'm going to go with
that. That works. We all know what he meant.
Yeah, absolutely.
I make it up. I couldn't spell it, but I could say it.
He tested well when he was a teenager. He got in Notre Dame. Must be smart.
I think he got into Notre Dame.
You could hit somebody really hard. Is that the deal? Well, and also.
What are you looking forward to next with the Bears or the NFL? Is there anything on your radar screen right now that gets you excited?
You know, I got to tell you, I do enjoy watching the XFL. It has my attention. I see trying to look at weeks of development of maybe a player that's showing up a little bit. But for me, it's kind of weird, and it's interesting you ask that question because, you know, we're usually all so caught up in the combine that leads to the draft. But because of where the Bears are drafting in the second round, it's hard to pinpoint exacts. Because as soon as the draft starts, you think if someone's going to get drafted here, then they sink, and then it starts changing. Then there's a run of a certain type of player that goes out there. So I don't know what to anticipate. But my anticipation is not who, but I want two starters in the second round with both of those picks.
Hmm.
And I think it can be done.
That's a good goal. Two starters, regardless of position, mm-hmm. right?
Right?
You don't care.
I'm not searching.
One of them's
right.
got to be an offensive lineman, though, right? Out of the two?
You know, if that's the case, then great. And if he does, I still have those expectations on him to come in here and be developed in Juan Castillo's system, his type of teaching, to get him ready to play.
See, I can't stop thinking about the quarterbacks, because even if Mitch is going to go in as the unquestioned starter or whatever they do with the free agent, I still feel like they should find one they love and take him. And I don't know. Would you then be upset if they did that with a second round pick?
Not at all.
Jake Fromm or whoever they decide they love is available in a second round pick?
Over the years of history, you look at, you know, Brett Favre there, they take Aaron Rodgers. You know, all these other teams that have taken quarterbacks in front of them, even what they've done in New England with the whole Brady scenario and Garoppolo. So, no, I don't think taking a quarterback is going to motivate Mitch anymore, but because he's one of the more motivated guys to do what's required of him. You know, I mean, you got to see a reflection and improvement of what the effort he's putting in getting better. And you're going to be able to tell that. You're going to be able to tell that in the meeting room. You're going to be able to tell that on the practice field. So when I was writing questions down for the show tonight, this is probably the most interesting OTAs in minicamp you can have, because it's the third year in the terminology of the system. And so I think you should go out there and see an organized football team earlier.
Tom, what's the best example, or I should say, who is the best example of the Bears overpaying for a guy based on what they saw in Indianapolis at the combine? There have to be several. Before I ask the question to you, I thought of a couple.
Of who the Bears?
Guys who sold the Bears in Indianapolis. Convinced the Bears because they benched 2.25
times. Who's the dude who jumped out of an empty pool?
Well, you know what's Mike Mamula of the Eagles years ago?
No, there was another guy the Bears drafted, though, a defensive lineman.
Gilbert.
Yeah.
Jerron Gilbert?
Yes.
That's who it was.
Yes. You know, I always...
He jumped out of a pool.
Yeah, he jumped out of the empty
right.
end of
right,
the shallow
end of a pool and popped up out of it.
Uh-huh.
But you know, one guy that's disappointed me was a guy like Jonathan Bullard. Because Jonathan Bullard played in a big-time conference, played if it was a defensive lineman, and initially in training camp, he really showed these these instincts of understanding the snap count so he was getting off the ball and creating some havoc for the Bears at a time when they really needed defensive line help outside the obvious. And so, you know, he was the one guy that kind of disappointed me the most when I saw some of the best things out of him in practices.
I got to tell you, I'm so glad that I just Googled Jerron Gilbert because it wasn't an empty pool. There was water in the pool.
There was water in it. Yeah.
He jumped out of the shallow end of a pool with water in it.
He's squatting down in 2.5 feet of water. It's not like a feat of strength.
Oh. He jumped out of a pool to get the Bears to draft him. The Bears drafted Chris Williams, and he jumped right in the pool.
Exactly. Yeah. It would be more impressive of a guy's YouTubing himself squatting 600 pounds. Show me that, and then I'll show you leg strength. Mm. If you just want to show me a guy with bendability and the, you know, jumping, you know, there's a lot of guys we can get to do that.
Isn't it crazy that that we have not heard from Matt Nagy or Ryan Pace? Like, we're going to get a chance to hear from them at the Combine. It's like, oh, can you tell us about firing Mark Helfrich? Because that's how long it's been.
Right.
You know, haven't had a chance to hear them comment on that stuff. You said Juan Castillo. You have optimism about Juan Castillo working as the offensive line coach?
In the last 5 weeks of Bears All Access, we've got to interview all of the new coaches and Trey Roberson, the new defensive back that's coming, Roberson. And so when you have conversation with these guys, and then you think of the years of experience that each one of these guys are talking from, they're talking from a different level than Mark Helfrich, first-time hired coach in the NFL, or even Gilbright Jr. and these guys. The guys, when we were talking to Barone, we were talking to Juan Castillo and Lazor and these guys, and DeFilippo, they talk from rooms of experience. So I do think when they get in there and they start using their experiences around their football life, maybe to, you know, where Matt's more included in the conversation of development, you know, as much as he's teaching them his system, I think there's a lot of positive input that each one of these guys can give.
That'll do it.
Alonzo Spellman was one of the names I was looking for on guys the Bears fell in love with when they saw him in his underwear.
Physically gifted guy I've ever seen coming in as a rookie.
John Theory, too, is a good answer to that. Because, well, those measurables were something. He just couldn't play football.
Right, no change of direction. He could run from here to me to you as fast as anybody, but if they ran a draw in front of him. Unfortunately, John Theory passed away recently.
Always leave him laughing, Tom. What's coming up tonight, bud?
We're going to be kind of heavy, me, Jim, and Jeff with a lot of combine talk. That's what it's leading up to. But we also have the great, talented, funny Spice Adams and going to give us war stories from the celebrity All-Star game he played in this weekend.
That's awesome. Creamy Biggins was in the celebrity All-Star game.
That cat is funny.
He is the best. Tommy Thayer and Bears All Access up next.
We'll do it again tomorrow.
I'm in.
Good to be back.
Nice to have you back.
Good to be anywhere when you're me.
Nice for me to
be
back.
Nice harness you got there.
Thank you. I'm well harnessed.
Side saddle.
Take it off in a little bit here.
Thank you to our guests today.
Harness, that is.
Ben Golliver from the Washington Post. Talked to also from Houston Radio, Sean Pendergast and Hub Arkish. Thank you so much to Shep, who's the best, and Tanny, who's the best. I'm Spiegel in for Parkins this week while he's on paternity leave. Have a great evening, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
We want to take this time to apologize for some of the language, but nonetheless, our sincerest apologies to you, the listeners.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.